You're listening to Central Time. Now, as people across the nation went to the polls on November 3rd, Puerto Ricans were also deciding to support or oppose statehood for the island. This non-binding referendum wasn't the first time Puerto Ricans were asked about statehood on their ballots. A majority of Puerto Rican voters said yes, so now what? Our guest is here to help us understand what statehood would mean for the island and what it would take to get there from where they are now. Sam Ehrman is a professor of law and history at the University of Southern California. He's the author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution, and Empire. Sam, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we dig back into some of the history of how Puerto Rico got where it is today, can you talk about this non-binding referendum on Election Day, what came out of it, and what it really means?
Sure. So Puerto Rico has had a series of referendums over the years trying to settle what it is that the people of Puerto Rico would like to have happen with their island. Would they like it to become a state? Would they like it to be an independent country? Or would they like it to be in some sort of in-between status that has some degree of self-government, but is also within the United States? And these referendums have always been plagued by the difficulty of determining, of asking the questions in a way that everybody felt was fair. So this referendum was notable because nobody boycotted it thinking it was unfair. At the same time, voter turnout was relatively low by Puerto Rican standards. So a majority came out in favor of statehood, but not a large majority and not in an election that had overwhelming turnout.
I want to step back, 122 years or so, to Puerto Rico becoming a part of the United States, but not a full-fledged state of the United States. Talk about the sort of middle zone that Puerto Rico started out in and mostly stayed in.
Let's take an eight-minute break. And
sure. So the Puerto Rico showed up in 1898 during the Spanish-American War. And as a result of it being annexed, it came within U.S. sovereignty. But there was still a question, which was, would the United States allow Puerto Rico to become a state, or would it do something else with it, sort of like a colony? And the decision was pretty quickly made that Puerto Rico would be held as a colony, that unlike all prior territories, it wouldn't be put on the path to statehood.
Why was that? Why was Puerto Rico different than, say, the Wisconsin territory before that?
Right. That's a great question. So the answer was really the Philippines. The United States had annexed the Philippines at the same time. Most Americans thought that Philippines were an inferior race and didn't want the Philippines to come in as a state. And so they decided we need to do something different. And Puerto Rico was handy. It had just come in too. And so by treating Puerto Rico badly, the United States hoped that it could set a precedent that it could then apply to the Philippines. And once they'd started treating Puerto Rico badly, it then became the case the United States didn't say, well, now we've created the precedent and we can treat Puerto Rico well. Instead, they said, well, we treated them badly, and we must have had a good reason for it. It's probably because Puerto Ricans are also inferior to us. And so a process of racism got underway that then justified keeping Puerto Rico at arm's length.
Talking to Sam Ehrman from the University of Southern California, author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution and Empire, talking about a non-binding referendum last month on the idea of Puerto Rico becoming a state, narrowly approved or approved by a small majority, but with low turnout, as Sam said. Sam, let's talk about what Puerto Rico would get out of statehood. First, the benefits. What would they get that they don't have now in Puerto Rico?
Well, one major benefit is federal money. So the Supreme Court has said that Congress is allowed to treat Puerto Rico worse than other parts of the country, even though Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens. If Puerto Rico was a state, the equal footing doctrine would mean that they would come in on the same footing as all existing states. And that is a lot of money that's potentially at stake for Puerto Ricans. Statehood would also give Puerto Rico representation at the federal level. They would be allowed to elect people to Congress. They'd have their own senators. They would vote in presidential elections and on constitutional amendments. And that kind of hard power would mean that they could get legislation and executive policy that was more crafted to their needs.
It sounds like that would be a sure thing. Of course, people would want that, but clearly that hasn't been the case throughout Puerto Rican history. What are the reservations people in Puerto Rico have about the idea of statehood?
Well, I think one big reservation is that the United States has not always treated Puerto Rico very well. And so the idea of throwing your lot in with a country that you feel like has treated you badly, that's just a hard thing to sell. People think, well, I don't know if I really want to be a full member of that country, given how they've treated us. It's also the case that Puerto Ricans have a sense of national identity, a cultural sense that they're separate and apart from the United States. And becoming a state would be a further type of integration into the United States. And so there's resistance to it from the sense that Puerto Rico should stand apart. Finally, becoming a state would probably foreclose independence for Puerto Rico. It would take an important option off the table. And while relatively few Puerto Ricans support independence at the moment, there's a big difference between saying we don't want to go all in for independence right now and saying we don't want ever to be able to consider it again.
Sam Ehrman is with us, professor of law and history at the University of Southern California, author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution and Empire. We're talking to him about Puerto Rico's most recent vote, a referendum, a non-binding one for U.S. statehood. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Would you like to see Puerto Rico become a state? Are you from there or do you have a background or connection to Puerto Rico? What do you think about when you think about the idea of Puerto Rican statehood? And you have questions about what it would take, what it would mean? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Sam Ehrman about the latest vote for Puerto Rican statehood. He's a professor of law and history at the University of Southern California, author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution and Empire. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Would you like to see Puerto Rico become the 51st state in the United States? Why? Why not? What questions do you have? 800-642-1234. Sam, we've been talking about the whether Puerto Rico and Puerto Ricans would want to become a state. Let's talk about the how. What it would take. What would it take to go from being a territory to a state?
Well, the Constitution's pretty clear on this. It just takes a vote of Congress. And so the question there is not really what does it take in terms of the law, but what would it take in terms of Congress wanting to do this? And there, it's hard to envision Congress making Puerto Rico a state without a strong sense that Puerto Ricans want to become a state. And so this latest referendum is important in the sense that if there was a Congress that wanted Puerto Rico to be a state, they can now point to the referendum as saying, we're not imposing it, we're doing what is asked of us.
And there's political calculation here, the perception that two new senators from Puerto Rico would most likely be Democratic senators. How much does partisan politics here in the U.S. Get in the way of the possibility of Puerto Rican statehood?
You know, partisan politics gets in the way of Puerto Rican statehood the way partisan politics gets in the way of everything these days. So it is basically impossible to imagine a Republican-controlled Senate making Puerto Rico into a state. And so part of Puerto Rican statehood, what it depends on is moments when the Democrats control the government. And those, right, unified control of the government is relatively rare. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen from time to time. And so Puerto Rico both needs a moment when the party that sees advantage in them becoming a state is in power, and when that party feels like it would be permissible to make them a state.
Short of statehood, what are some of the biggest concerns right now with the way the U.S. manages its relationship and control over Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico currently has this funny in-between status known as Commonwealth. And the idea is that Puerto Rico is no longer a colony of the United States, that the United States has given it enough self-government that it can be thought of as kind of its own thing. And for many years, this worked more or less because the United States was committed to being seen as an anti-colonial power. And so it tried to respect Puerto Rico's decisions and tried to treat Puerto Rico relatively well. That consensus has disappeared in recent years. And so Puerto Rico now is in this funny intermediate position where they can't really count on U.S. goodwill to the extent they used to, which has made their current situation more difficult.
And as I understand it, Sam, arguments over statehood within Puerto Rico are often, I guess, subject to local politics over who the governor is going to be, over who's going to control the legislature. It ends up becoming a political football within Puerto Rico. Can you talk about how that works?
Yeah, so this is the classic colonial condition. Puerto Rico has three ways it might ultimately go. It could be independent, it could be a state, it could retain the self-government option. And politics tends to rotate around these three options, making it hard for politics to settle on other issues. So all of politics gets caught up in the colonial question. At the same time, the colonial question gets caught up in politics. So recently, people went into the streets to force out the governor of Puerto Rico after he made some really offensive comments and was thought to not be doing a good job in certain ways. And he was a pro-statehood governor. And so one would think that's going to be a hit against statehood for a little while if everyone's mobilized against him. And so what you end up with is this politics where it's hard to focus on anything other than the colonial question because it's always underlying who you're voting for. The parties line up one for each of these outcomes. And at the same time, with there being three options and with there always being other issues, it's often hard to get a clear statement as to where people or where the island stands on the colonial question.
Sam, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Sam Ehrman is a professor of law and history at the University of Southern California. He's the author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution, and Empire. We talked about the statehood ballot initiative voted on last month in Puerto Rico.